Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's the Fri-Yay Cocktail with Anna Glavinsky.
Whilst most of us are settling in for the night, there's a whole other world that's waking up around us. And Charles Hood has spent many years tracking what happens when the sun goes down. And he's here to reveal all of the nighttime mysteries in his new book, which is called Nature at Night. Charles, hello, how are you?
Oh, good evening. Hello, buenas tardes.
Buenas tardes.
Very to my friends
good.
In Europe.
Very
well,
good.
Well, that's my California Spanish, so I appreciate it's not Castellano. So
we're in Andalusia, which is a whole nother kind of Spanish of all of its own. So you'll be understood. That's what counts. My
Very
first
good.
Question to you is, what drew you to exploring nature at nighttime rather than in the daytime when you can just see it?
Well, maybe I don't like people.
Good point.
Right.
Good point. Fair.
But if you know they're about bird watchers and they go twitching and they have all these lists, there is a subgroup called mammal watchers. And the mammal watchers have to go out at night. So that's actually, I got interested in bats that way because I just wanted to see animals for my list. But then I began to realize how fascinating they were on their own.
So you say that mammal hunters, or hunters is the wrong word, but like, was that the right word? What word did you just use?
Well, I would call them mammal watchers.
Watchers, yeah, because I was just like, hunters is definitely not the right context here whatsoever. But you're watching mammals. Why at nighttime specifically? Because there are plenty of mammals that are awake in the daytime. Cows,
oh, sure. They count,
sheep.
Yeah.
I've seen them around.
They count too. And the Iberian lynx, to speak to something that's only in Spain and a tiny bit in Portugal, the Iberian
nice.
Lynx, you can see it during the daytime. But for example, the largest group of mammals in the world as a group are rodents. But then right after that are the bats, actually. There are 1,400 species of bats in the world. And you can see them during the day. They come out and hunt during the daytime once in a while. And you can see them in their roosting areas. But really, if you want a big, you know, it's like bird watching. You've got to go to a sewage, you know, the sewage works sooner or later as a bird watcher. Well, sooner or later, if you want a mammal list, by golly, you got to start dealing with the bats.
Fair enough. And what other creatures are nighttime creatures that you study in your book?
Well, you know, people are used to lemurs. They've seen them in cartoons or maybe at a zoo. And there are, of course, diurnal, you know, daytime lemurs. But lots of the lemurs in Madagascar are nocturnal as well. And what we do is use a thermal scope. It reads a heat signature. So if you imagine looking through regular binoculars during the daytime, and you can see the seagull on the beach or the pretty girl, whatever you want to look at with your binoculars, there is a kind of monocular that reads heat signatures. So if you scan the forest, the leaves are all one temperature, but then kaboom, there the lemur is, white hot, glowing. Now, you can be tricked because also like termite mounds and ant nests, they glow white hot too.
Wow.
But you can then use your flashlight and determine, hey, is it looking back at me? Does it have two eyes? Okay, it's probably a lemur.
It's a triangle. I think that it's a termite nest. But that's pretty cool. And that sort of technology that you have to tap into, did you just buy all this kit for fun because you're interested in it? Or did you, you know, have you turned this into a career you supported to
do
this?
Well, in the American tax code, if you're making money at a business, you can count your devices as mm-hmm. a business expense. That's just a reality. And also, here's advice for your listeners. My wife and I have separate finances. She has no idea how much money I've spent on all this kit. And it's an indulgence, I have to say. But the trick is you can borrow it from everybody else. You don't need to buy it yourself. Just go out on an organized, you know, night walk and use somebody else's kit.
Do you must admit, I was not expecting to get tax advice in this chat today.
Quite a broad spectrum of information.
But so there's quite a big community then, is there, of nocturnal mammal watchers?
Well, we're small, but we're loyal to each other.
As long as you don't have to see each other too often.
Well, I don't even mind seeing the other mammal watchers because they might put me onto something good. It's just, you know, maybe you've seen the pictures like in the press. When there's a rare bird in England, oh, God help the bird, right? You've seen these pictures of hundreds and hundreds of people all queued up, you know, in the hedgerow, peering at the tiny little sparrow in somebody's backyard. I much prefer to go out at night. And it is true, you might run into some police or some other people wanting to know what you're about. But in terms of just, you can smell things at night more easily. You can hear things more acutely. It's simply you turn off your vision as your primary input, and then you're alert to all these other kinds of sensations.
So for you, when you are watching these mammals at nighttime, is it as much about the atmosphere, or is it just about, nighttime happens to be when the animals that you're interested in come out? Or is it, do you enjoy specifically the nighttime environment?
I really think nighttime is underrated, and we have these great light shows going on. Even in Madrid or Barcelona or something, you're going to still see the moon. If nothing, you may not see as many stars as you would like, but you're certainly going to see the moon. And the moon is always different every day. Thank you, moon, for changing and taking on a different shape. And then if you do have binoculars and you look at like a half moon, you can actually see the mountains, you know, the crenellated edges of the mountains of the moon with your binoculars, or if you have a bird watching telescope, even better. So there is quite a bit to appreciate just in terms of beauty at night.
And let's talk about some specific animals. Like, how have they developed to be able to thrive so well at nighttime? Like jaguars, for example.
Well, they have a sense of sight and a sense of smell that is just more acute than ours. I don't want to, you know, humans are okay as primates go, but if we're on a total, you know, like who's a cool animal, people are not necessarily going to be the top of my list. And you think about something like a jaguar, it's got this tremendous amount of bite strength. It can take a turtle the size of a big dinner plate and just bite it in two. Like it could puncture the shell of the turtle just it's got a stronger bite force even than a tiger, as a matter of fact. So I just admire animals that can navigate the world in a much more successful way than I can, bumbling around at night.
And night monkeys as well. What about them? Because surely they have to then jump from branch to branch. How can they see where they're going?
Well, the thing is, we're night monkeys too. The great thing about humans is we could, if we couldn't see at night, how do you think our ancestors met up in the bushes to go make more babies? Like, of course we can see at night. It's just we don't allow ourselves to see at night because the headlights are always blinding us or people's you get into the average modern car and the light goes on inside the car, you know, to help you find the seat. Like, the seat is always there. It's never going to change. Your seat belt are always there. The steering wheel is always there. So when you put the dome light on in your car and you get in, yeah, you get settled and you feel secure, but you've lost your night vision completely. It takes a while for that to re-acclimate, you know, for your eyes to acclimate again. Normally in a pre-industrial society, if we just had regular night sky, we could walk around by moonlight quite easily. And you can even walk around by starlight. So yes, there are species of monkeys called night monkeys, and they're feeding on insects that are out at night, and they've just got tremendously good vision, to answer your question. That was a long way of saying they have big round eyes and they can see in the dark, just like we have pretty good vision and we can pretty well see in the dark.
But it's the actual size of their eyes that allow them to see better in the dark then?
I would suspect there's a physiological change. They're probably adapted to take in dim light a little bit better than the diurnal monkeys, but I'm not a primate physiologist, so we're guessing. Hello, audience, that was a guess. Don't tell your grandkids about it. Don't, you know, Google it.
I'm going to go fact check.
Right.
Yeah. I just went off tangent there. I was just like thinking about how big and round our eyes are and your night vision as well. Would you say that you've tuned your night vision to be better than the average human? Is it something that you can train and get better at?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, not that I have any, you know, I can't replace my eyes as much as I would like to, but
some big round monkey eyes.
There are things you can do to protect your night vision as it begins to get dark. So I don't look into other people's headlights. And even when you're hiking on the trail, put your headlamp on a dim setting or a red setting, or to aim it down low. One of the cool thing about the mammal watchers is they do know the etiquette, and we don't shine our lights in each other's faces. So why do I see more at night? Because I haven't lost my night vision, because I haven't been adult about how I'm handling the flashlight. Or we could say the torch for our British listeners.
Yes. Yeah, we would say torch. Absolutely. So you're just saying avoid looking at light. And then, so how do you capture all these beautiful photographs? How does the light work in what you're doing?
If you've ever seen a fashion magazine, you know the models are, of course, attractive inherently, but they've been made to look more attractive by the softness of the flash, mm-hmm. the light that wraps around the fashion model. So I actually travel in the jungle with these duffel bags of fashion lighting when we're going to capture bats, for example. I don't want them to look fierce or kind of harsh or contrasted, you know, too sharply. So we go out in the jungle with researchers who have permits, and we put up a net and we catch some bats, and I want to make a nice flattering portrait the same way I would if I were shooting a wedding or a graduation. And so we literally use fashion lighting in the middle of the rainforest. Oh my God, it's such a nuisance to carry all this stuff around. I have to say, it's such a pain in the caboose, but we end up with really good shots.
I can imagine that some of the wild animals are less malleable to what you want them to do as well.
Well, it's funny, you know, bats have personalities the same as people do. So sometimes when you put up a net, you know, it's like, if you know how they do banding for bird watching, you know, they catch the bird in the little fine net and put a little aluminum ring on its leg. The same thing happens with the bat people. They catch the bats in a net. You put a net up like over a stream, and bats have personalities. And some bats are very docile and they're very curious and they're looking around and they're kind of having an interesting time. And other bats are so offended and they're like using the worst curse words in the bat language. Like, I'll just bite your head off. Just lean a little bit closer, you big stupid person. Let me go. And so, okay, that animal is not having a good time. I think we'll get the picture and let it go right away. And other animals don't mind if you take multiple pictures in a row.
Yeah, some of them just love it, I imagine.
Well, they seem to like if you're going to feed them, if you got some little we call them here in the United States mealworms, little larvae. I mean, there's some bats that are very happy to spend some time with you if you're going to give them a mealworm, or if they're a fruit bat, a little piece of fig.
Yeah, a little bit of capitalism never hurt anybody. And is it just land and air-based animals that you delve into?
One of the fun things that most people don't appreciate is that the greatest migration of wildlife on the planet is not the Serengeti and not the caribou up in the tundra of Alaska, but in the ocean. And so there's a vertical migration going on all the time, every day of the year, because the phytoplankton, the little tiny things that are little plant things, are up at the surface where the light is. But the thing that wants to eat them don't want to hang out at the surface because they're going to get eaten themselves. So they wait until it's dark. So there is this vertical migration of zooplankton and larger animals coming up from like 1,000, 2,000 feet down. They've been hanging out in the darkness all day, but they can sense through their circadian rhythms, oh, it's time, and they can see the moonlight, it's time to go up. And so then the zooplankton come up to feed on the phytoplankton, right? So the biters are feeding on the planting, on the growers, so to speak.
Yeah.
But then that brings up the squid, and then that brings out dolphins. So we're used to thinking of dolphins, if you've seen them by Gibraltar or something, you've been on a little whale watching trip, you've seen some dolphins splashing around in the daytime, and they're frolicking instead of hanging out. They don't really seem to be doing any work, you know, like they're just being dolphins. Well, that's because they're full. They've been eating squid all night long because the squid were up at the surface. And so they can sort of frolic during the daytime because they've got that sort of social, they've got physical energy and social energy. Time just to have fun.
Wow. So they're night eaters.
Not all species, but most species. Yes. So because they're echolocating, they don't need to have daylight to feed on the squid or the fish, whichever, you know, whatever, depending on the different dolphins eat different things.
And you've, you know, jungles, oceans, you've traveled around. How have you chosen the animals that you wanted to watch, that you wanted to photograph, the ones that you wanted to make it into your book? Or how did you choose which ones made it into your book?
To be practical, can we be honest? Like, depending where I have frequent flyer miles to go to, like, where's United going to fly me for free? And also then, where do I have a project? I want to visit maybe somebody doing some research. And so I've been to Nicaragua a few times because I was invited to go there. And that certainly makes getting through customs easier and just makes it more interesting if you got someone to take you around. In Nicaragua, we saw a bat that had never been seen alive before. There was one skull that was known. And then we then based on measurements and locations and other data, we found the only living, we found and discovered and photographed the only seen alive version of this particular bat. So that kind of stuff is fun.
That's quite a coup. Amazing. Congratulations. Love that. So just finally, to wrap things up, to give people an overview of your book, like what's it like if they're to buy it, what would they be getting their hands on? A coffee table book, beautiful photographs, something to read in the toilet, and a long form novel. Give us a little bit of a description.
So I published a book called Nature at Night, and it is about A3 size, or is it A5? Whichever is smaller than A4. So you forgive me for not knowing my metrics from memory.
That'll be A5, but yeah.
Yeah, A5, a little bit smaller than A4. And it's got lots of color, pretty pictures of jellyfish and dolphins and jaguars and all these sexy kind of things. And one of the things for me in nature writing is I want to make it lively. I really don't like to go to church when I read a nature book. I don't mind churches as churches, but this sort of, oh, hello, we're now going to study nature. Do you have clean underwear on? Have you washed your hands? We need to pray before we go to nature. And that's just, I'm sorry to use my British voice on that, but that's how Americans think of, you know, posh
people.
Pretty
much describe my radio show, to be fair.
So this idea that we need to be fancy and elevated and, you know, I'm listening to rock and roll on my way to the trailhead, right? I'm in my car zooming around on my American roads, going my American 100 miles an hour. And like, why wouldn't I want to bring some of that energy and some of that language onto the page? So I kind of think of myself as the jazzy nature writer or the rock and roll nature writer. I'm actually having a fun time writing it, and I hope people have a fun time reading it.
It does. It sounds really fun. It sounds fascinating as well. Charles, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
It's been a pleasure. Bye. So that was Charles Hood with Nature at Night. Discover the hidden world that comes alive after dark. And if you'd like to get your hands on it, find it on the Talk Radio Europe bookshop or pop it into Amazon.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.